Welcome to the Victor Collins Asabre podcast. We pray the Holy Spirit will speak to you and stir you up as you listen to this anointed, transformative, and down-to-earth teaching by Bishop Collins. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Enjoy the message.
Father, thank you for tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. You're welcome tonight. First, I want to emphasize on the Word of God. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, before we take off. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church." Isn't it? You have to cook for her. Let her go to school and you work, wash her car. So she wouldn't even know how to put gas in the car. You must be a fancy man. From Mount Kesim. All right. And he says, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word. With a washing of water by the word. Now, I want to say for the 100th time that we can only get better. We can only get better if we allow the word to work on us. I'll say it again, because I think some people, my English is a little too hard for you. What I'm saying is that we will get better. We are supposed to get better. Tell your neighbor, we are supposed to get better. You get it? If you are like a roller coaster, today you are this, tomorrow you are that, today you are this, today you are happy, tomorrow you are not happy, today you are satisfied, tomorrow you are not satisfied, something is wrong about that. Are you with me? Some time ago I was telling G about his son, his first son. Because he tells me about, he wasn't well, took him to the hospital. And when I told him that, gee, I don't like this hospital thing. I said, you're feeding this hospital business. I don't like it. So I think it was yesterday or so, his wife called me, a son hospital. I said, I told you about this hospital thing. I don't like it. It happens too often. And there's something wrong about that to me. So I spoke to them and I prayed for him. I said, no matter how much he cries, don't take him to no hospital. How many agree that it's not easy when your child is crying and say, like that? Are you with me? So, and those things are because of the lack of the word. You didn't say amen. You don't understand. I explained it this way. Gee, hey, is it because of me you are standing? I beg. I explained it this way. If somebody tells you, or let's say a relative or somebody you know tells you, next week I'll give you a raise. It stays with you. It stays with you. In fact, you can easily go shopping, looking for something, getting ready to spend that money. The reason you give yourself is that I'm expecting a raise next week. So there's this shoe that, you know, I want to do. How many understand what I'm saying? When you are single, and then somebody approaches you, and the person fits into your category, it's a fancy man from Mankasim. Where I took it from and I shared, somebody said, it is not true, it's not real at all. It is not real. You will. How do we even go forward to say that I fell in love? I fell in love with God. Fall in love. Something must happen for your heart, your mind to be captivated. And I'm saying that is what happens when you get better by going to church. It means that you receive the word. The Bible says that the word is that which cleanses you, makes you clean. So if you have a lot of awkward, bad, unbecoming behavior, it gets better. The reception of the word is what gets it out. It's like someone who is smelling, and then you wash that person with water and soap. The person gets better. The water and the soap, here is the word of God. Are you with me? So I will keep on saying, that don't allow yourself to be prayed for. You fall down, you roll on the floor, you vomit, you get back up. Tomorrow night, you are rude. And you are giving rudeness. So it means you are a canal, you are not getting better. Are you with me? It means that you don't have control over your flesh. There is no word in you that makes you kind of check your behavior or yourself. I'm serious about what I'm saying. That is why we have not become better with the books we have, with the messages we listen to, with the everything, flow prayer. To a point, I'm not even interested in flow prayer because you've prayed her. Not many of you join flow prayer, even though you don't want to join. You wanted to sleep. We know all of that. You are just there to mark time. You set an alarm, yeah. That's why you're red. You are out. It comes at 7:45. Yeah. No, so that is one thing about institutions. Institutions can make you a carnal and a religious and a hypocrite. Religious person, a hypocrite. Because there are some obligations. Oh, I go to church every Sunday. I pay my tithe. I give offering. So what? In the religious person's mind, that's what makes them qualify for God's approval or whatever. But that's not it. So you and I have to be careful that the movement that we are in doesn't change the way we think. Because it is a way to help us. But if you don't take care, if your mind is not working properly, you can become a religious person by that. It's like pastoral appointment. It's like marriage. Many people marry without God's plan. Yeah. Did God tell you to marry the person you marry? The ones that God tells you to marry, you don't even want them. Yeah. Are you with me? So you can become a pastor through a system, points, this, that. But you really become a pastor by following somebody. That's the real biblical way of becoming a disciple. Jesus never enrolled anybody in a Bible school. Yeah. He changed people to become pastors. It's the art of following that makes you become a great man of God, not writing exams and building points. So there are many people who are appointed pastors who are just an institutionalized pastors without spiritual authority. They can't even pray for a mosquito to die. You see, the things that happen there. You see, somebody was asking me today about why God gave all the things, those things that Solomon didn't ask, he gave it to him. I said, why? I said, because God was very pleased. And when God is pleased with you, he gives you things. Anybody who is pleased with their child, they spoil them. He spoiled them. Yeah. Allow the word of God to make you clean. And I've told you that I want church members and pastors who can buy car cash down. And I'm seeing them practically. Yeah, if you're in this church, you will not high purchase a TV. You'll pay it cash down. We bind that high purchase spirit in this church in the name of Jesus. One small shoe you are buying, you have to pay down. And then next week you have to go there. I bind that spirit in this church in the name of Jesus. You go and do your hair, you can't pay. You say when they pay you. I bind that demon in the name of Jesus. No. We have become that because the word is not cleansing us. So I'm praying that, and that's why Wednesday I said nobody should come. Every church, every branch should be in their church. Because the coming together even became another religious rite. And since I stopped the people, the atmosphere feels light on Wednesday evenings. Yeah, there's no program. We are not running a show. There's nothing. There's no like we are coming, we are going. We come here, we are here. So please let the word of God affect your heart like somebody says, "I love you," and then it affects your heart. Otherwise, I'll pray for you. You fall down from here to the foyer. To the road. You get back with your wig, dust, and sand. And still go to courts. Yeah. The washing is very important. And you have to accept the word like I'm saying, I love you. I love you. want to marry you. You see, when I was growing up, we came to a point where, like how Ghanaians say, I like you. No. That I like you wasn't very heavy. We were at a point, we used to say, hey, I want to marry you. This is when we're young, not when we're old. Because you want the love to be more heavy. The I love you. No, you want to come across as a very serious guy. So when you meet a girl and she's nice, hey, oh, you're very beautiful. I want to marry you. Don't say, I like you, I love you. No. I want to marry you. And when you say that, you see that the girl, her heart is touched. Because somebody who doesn't want to just play with me or joke with me, the person wants to take me serious. This is a lifetime contract. Lifetime commitment. Why wouldn't I be flexible to such a person? That's what was a trick we used to use. Yeah, it was a trick. Me worry. You are very beautiful. I'll marry you. Coco. Let me see a guy, and the guy looks and says, hey, hi, pretty. I want to marry you. No, it will tickle your brain. Magazine. It will tickle your brain. Because people, you know people, they say, like they are joking. But this one says, I want to marry you. You think about it. Cokes. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. In fact, if you are going to talk to somebody, you say, you know what? This guy, when he saw me, he come, let me preach, okay? You should go to the back. He told me he will marry me. And that word has been ringing my ears. I'm saying that let the word of God be to you like someone who says that, I'll marry you. We are talking about the church. You get it? You see that if you see the Good Friday pictures from Ghana, you will see that Good Friday is a big deal. It has not become a big deal here because the word has not washed us. It has not washed us. So Good Friday, some people go and work. I miss some members, serious people, so-called every Sunday regular members. I miss them on Good Friday. Do you think Good Friday is a big deal to those people? No way. These are people who have not been washed by the cleansing of water. So we are talking about a church, and we are saying that Jesus is building his church, and the church is supposed to be large, because the church is like a country. The church is like a nation. It's supposed to have everything, all the ministers, all the cabinet ministers, all the different things that a country has and needs. So just as the economy, roads, and hotels. They are building two Marriotts. One on Jombi Bed Road and one at the airport. They are building a Hyatt hotel on Masse Road, Red Road. The Qataris, United Arab Emirates, they've given a prime land around Seawall area there. They are going to build a hotel. I saw President Ali post a hotel that I didn't even know was coming up. A hotel is coming up, Oronok and Rob Street. It's very high. I think it's about 12 or 13 floors. He posted it on his social media account. He said it's coming around very well. That's what I saw. I said, I've seen this building. I never knew it was a hotel. It's an international hotel. Why? Because the country is being built. It's being developed.
Jesus also said that I am also developing my church. The only thing is that the people in the church have not caught up with the idea, the cleansing of water by the word of Jesus, that as I'm building and developing, the church must become what it must become. So you see people coming in. Now you have somebody, he finds money, he builds an apartment, and he says a two-bedroom apartment, $2,500 US. Finished. Hey, if you're going to get rich in Guyana, this is your time, if you're looking for riches. You got to buy some sand truck or something and kill people on the road in the night and all of that. Oh yeah, Bobcat, this is the time. Kanta, building materials, cement. If you really want money, yeah, this is your season. People are cashing in big time. I'm telling you. And it will not be like this forever. There's nothing that's forever. So just as Guyana is developing. So I heard, you see that, I heard even they were, you know, BVI, British Virgin Islands. You can't go there without, even though they are Caribbean, you need a visa to go there. When you get there with your Guyanese passport, they can easily send you back. But now that we don't need a visa to go to England, I heard they are discussing. And I'm sure they will grant us visa free soon because the church is developing, the country is developing. Now that is the same way with the church. If the church doesn't grow and become a mega church, this visa free and you know, opening doors and opportunities and things that the church can and will have, it will not happen. And you are in the church and I am in the church. So when we say mega church, it is not a pastor who is going to be glorified. You are going to be benefited. Because it is God who is trying to bring people together. There's a Moses film on Netflix. I just saw it the other day. I only go on Netflix. When I go, I always see something that is interesting. So I went there the other night. So Moses. It's three episodes or something like that. The Testament, that's the name. I didn't even know the name. I just saw it's Moses. It's not a bad movie at all. I don't like the series. It keeps you too hooked to the TV. When I finished, they suggested something to me about, was it somebody? Was it Jesus or something? It was about eight or something. I said, no, please. I don't want to even click play. Because you will keep me here in the room watching this TV. Me wonder. No. Me and Depo, them sitting down watching TV. I'm not idle. I have something to do. if I'm sitting out that long, that I'm watching a camp, series of camps. But Maria Magdalena kept me. I used to even download that. It was that movie is intense. Oh, they beat the girl. It was very intense if you've watched it before. I think that was the only Netflix series that kept me on Netflix for quite a long time, because about 60-something. Oh? How many? 60. Have you watched it? 60 what? 63. Gee, are you checking it? 63? Yeah. And what? Episodes? Okay. And it's about 45 minutes per episode. So you should multiply it. It's not this African movie that say Beyonce part one. Let's chop it down. It's not like that. Beyonce part two. No. This one is fantastic. And it's Spanish or something, Aramaic, something. So you feel like it's Bible language. Oh, 63 episodes. Maria Magdalena. It's very, very nice. If you have not watched it, you should. And then maybe you can add the Moses one. The Moses one is not bad. I think with the Moses, one of the things that the Moses series, I think the interesting thing is that they have doctors, professors, people, theologians making commentary with Moses' life. So you'll be surprised the revelations you'll get. Oh yeah. I didn't know have to look for it in the Bible, though. That Pharaoh's daughter went with Moses. The woman who picked up Moses from the river. Yeah. On the night, is in the Bible? It's in the movie. Yeah, but I want to see if it's in the Bible. The Bible, they portrayed it. The daughter, Pharaoh's daughter, she was the oldest. And so she's a firstborn. So she actually went to Moses' house, went on the night of the Passover, and left Egypt with Moses, because she's Moses' mother. She's the one who took care of Moses. So when Moses came back and all of that, she loved him that he said, no, you go. So she was with them. I think that part is a revelation. You can watch it. The what? What's the name of it? The Testament of Moses. 60 SPOs for Magdalena. 60. Okay. It's too much, man. I've already finished watching it a long time ago, so if you like, you can try. It's better than Beyonce Part 1, Beyonce Part 2, Beyonce Part 3. What am I saying? I'm saying that the church of God must develop. That's why the last time we met, I told you about the fact that it is in the developing of the church that God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. It means that we should go around and bring people into the kingdom so the kingdom can become big. Because even though we are in this world, we are not of this world. As we are part of this world, we are also creating another internal structure in this world. Are you sleeping already? Because Jesus promised life and life abundantly. And that life and life abundantly is not in going to work at GRA every morning, 8 to 5. That is not abundant life. The abundant life is in the group that he is creating inside or off this, in this world. It is in that group that the life abundant will be experienced. If we don't focus on what God has asked us to do, we will not experience it. One day we will say, you know what, the church, there's nothing in the church. It's just like you are Guyanese and then you want to migrate. You don't want to stay in Guyana. You don't want to even hear Guyana. You are glad to put away the passport and take another passport, because the country has not developed to benefit you, so you don't want to identify yourself with the country. It's the same way with the church. That if you and I don't sit up and develop the country and allow God's word to wash us and improve and develop it, one day we'll say the church wasted our time. That's why somebody can post on Facebook a narcissist church, 12 points. And then somebody will ask him, show scriptures that shows that a church is narcissist. You just take words and then people just write it. All those people who write books that don't encourage the kingdom of God, I'm sure God is waiting for them. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying? There are some people who are always saying things about churches. As if God has... Do you think God is happy that his bride... He said, as Christ loved the church. Do you think God is happy when people are saying negative things about his bride? And look at she. In the name of so-called identifying false prophets, who has given you the task? How many people have you brought into the kingdom for you to be now identify false pastors and false prophets? I saw the orangus, one of them saying, how come the Accra local government authority allowed people to sit on the grass of the football stadium? They are spoiling it. And he put two pictures, the like Monrovia Crusade, where we are not allowed to use the grass, and the Accra one that we are allowed to use the grass. He put it together. He said, look at how another country is not allowing us to use the grass, and then look at what Accra, Ghana, backward country. You see, people think that when you talk up against the church like that, that God is happy with you. They should look at Apostle Paul's life and see. And so one of the things that I think is very, very important when it comes to building the church, the mega church, is commitment. Commitment. Just like you are here, we need another group like you to be here on Wednesdays, like you. If we have 50 here, or 60, or 70, or whatever, we need another 70 like you to be here on Wednesdays. That's when the church will grow. Because you cannot, the church will not grow if you only have two committed people. Or three committed people. The people who come on Sunday, they must also be here on Wednesday. They must be here all the time. The things that you are doing, prayer meetings, busing, whatever you are doing, the others who are not here tonight, they must be here. The commitment that we are experiencing or we are seeing, it must affect others. So commitment is a major ingredient in the expansion of a country, of a church. I'm looking at the Oxford Advanced Dictionary. And looking at commitment, he says there are two definitions of commitment. I like the second one, but let me read the first one to you. The first one says the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause or activity. The state or quality of being dedicated to a cause or activity. If you are really committed to the church, then you understand why people are stupid to tell you that the church is a cult. Because the way you are committed to the church, people see it in a negative way. But commitment is a good thing and it's a nice thing. It says the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause. Dedicated to a cause. The second definition is even much better. It says an obligation that restricts freedom of action. An obligation that restricts freedom of action. An obligation that restricts freedom of action. It means that you are so committed that it restricts your freedom of acting in other things. Oh, you get it? That's commitment. It's an obligation. It is so much of an obligation, it even restricts your freedom. I'm sure if you're in something like that, you say, ah, wow, what is this? What's this nonsense? I want to be free. I want to be free. Why? Is that not so? Are we not people who get fed up quickly? Ha, ha, ha. But commitment restricts your freedom of action. That's commitment. It means that if the church is going to be built, if the church is going to grow, you and I, our freedom of doing other, you see how we are not restricted outside the church. Should I say it again? Our commitment to the church is loose. You see, I have a guy who, anytime he's one of my pastors, anytime he goes for a job, he when they ask him, what's your name? He mentions his name with his title. He says, I'm Pastor. Pastor Calvin. One day, that pastor went for an interview. And then they said, they want to give him the job and all of that. What is his name? And he said, and then they asked him, where do you see yourself in 5 years? If you apply for a job at GRN, they ask you, where do you see yourself in 5 years? They are trying to test whether you have an intention to be committed to stay in the company. And, you know, in a normal sense, what you do is that you say, I see myself becoming a manager or a supervisor. So, in any company, I want to rise up the ladder. I want to be in the corporate world. They want to hear those things. But this pastor is very committed to his pastoral calling. So he told the people that if he tells them where he sees himself in 5 years, they will laugh. He says, oh, really? Okay, so you tell us. Then he said that in 5 years' time, he sees himself as a big man of God with a big church. And then they laughed. And then he said, I told you, see? He said, when I tell you, you laugh. At the end of the interview, they told him that, let us know your church days and we'll give you a schedule around your church days. Commitment. You are afraid of your job. Yeah, you're afraid. So you rather tell the head of the ashes, you rather tell Bishop, you rather say, oh, Bishop, I can't make it today because you are not committed. If everybody was going to do that, you see that one Sunday, nobody will be here. Think about it. If everybody was going to behave the way you are, so uncommitted, one of the things that we do, even as pastors, is that as much as possible, if you invite me to your church, it shouldn't be a Sunday morning. It's a culture among pastors who really love their job and are committed to their flock. They say, you know what, Monday to Saturday, I can come. If it's from morning to night, whatever, anointing, deliverance, but Sunday morning, I want to be in my church. Commitment. Otherwise, churches will want to have you Sunday morning. Because Sunday morning is where they have most of their congregation. And that's when they want you to be ministering to all of them. But you too, you have your congregation. So, commitment is an obligation. It restricts your freedom of action. So, ask yourself, are you so committed to this church that you don't have room for anything else? Ask yourself that question. Now, when I heard that some of my church members, Good Friday, went somewhere to go and do business, go and sell something, I said, wow, Easter time. God have mercy on your poor soul. That if you're going to sell cross bands, that what you say you believe in, the blood that was shed for you on Good Friday, you are not in church. And there's something wrong with your commitment. an obligation. It's like something by force. It restricts your freedom of action. That is when the church grows. That's when we come on Wednesday, you see everybody will be here. Because everybody is making time to be here because they are committed. No excuses. The flimsy ones. You see, one day if God was to show himself to you, you will not go to work again. You will not go to work again. Yeah. So when it comes to commitment, there's no room. There's no room. Can you imagine the disciples of Jesus Christ? That as they are going with Jesus, then one will say, Jesus, my mother is calling me. Jesus, my wife has been ringing down my phone, but you know the woman, she can be my mad woman. Can I go? Can you imagine? Can I go and wash her car? But can you imagine the disciples of Jesus? They had to ask permission, and that's what Judas used to do. Excuse. We know that because on that fateful, on the night in which he was betrayed. On the night you were betrayed, you took the bread, and after giving thanks, you broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you." And as you eat it, remember me. This is my body, broken for you. And as you eat, remember. Do you know how God speaks? I feel God is telling us to have communion. Gee. That's how he speaks. On that night, Jesus was approaching death. And he sat among between his disciples. There are six of them here, six of them here. He's talking to them about you know, his death, and he's washing their feet very, very, very deep. And Judas says, please, I'm coming back just now. What? How can you ask for an excuse at such a time? What's your commitment? Does it restrict your movement? That's your commitment to God and to the church. Does it restrict your movement? He said, that is how for those of you who are growing up, who are, you know, pastors and leaders and all of that is what makes you question somebody's faith. It's their commitment. You give somebody a job in the church, a role in the church, and then you see that they don't play it like. Can I have my definitions? They don't play the role like. They don't have freedom. You see, to a large extent, it is not even the permission of the pastor that you need. Because if you ask me that, oh Bishop, this, so I'll not be in church to do praise and worship today. I won't say. You think I'm going to say you can't go? You tell me I'm a dictator. You tell me it's a cult. That's all. No problem. Showing can do the thing. To me, it's up to you and God. That's why I will say yes. If you really are close to me and you can take my plainness and my lack of hiding or anything, I'll tell you, don't go. But you will not take it. That's why I will not tell you. I'll tell you yes. and I'll leave you and God. And then, I don't tell me that God understands, because if I don't understand, God will not understand also. An obligation that restricts your freedom of action. So it is something that you have. It's not something that the bishop is giving to you. If I tell you, yes, you can go, it does not, it's a very, especially if I say you can go, and then I don't mean it from my heart, because, but I know that you are some way. So if I don't say that, you're not. It's different. Because to even come up with something like that in such a season at such a time, that's you. I can't be truthful to you. You don't deserve the truth. Commitment. That is what makes the church grow. And commitment is an obligation that restricts freedom of action. So there's a story in the Bible I want us to read very quickly, and we'll close. And that is in Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. Now, if you are an obedient child, you will notice that God is speaking to you. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Isaiah chapter 55, I believe. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Find it for me. 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So shall my word be that goeth forth. I didn't go to Bible school. It's just Bible studies. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. He said, it shall not return unto me useless. It shall not return unto me void. It means that by the time the word comes to me, it would have done something. So he says that, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So the word commitment that I'm preaching, it is not going to be a useless message in your ears. I said, it's not going to be a useless message in your ears. It shall not return unto me void. What does a New Living Translation say? There's no word of God that is useless. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. May the word produce fruit in your life. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. That's the word of God. Is there anything? Look at it. Is there any commodity that wherever you send it, it will be sold? That there's this commodity. You can sell it in number 2. You can sell it in number 1. You can sell it on the West Bank, the East Bank, in Barbados. There's this a particular commodity. Is there anything like that in this world? I don't think so. That's why every culture, every country, they have their type of food. You can easily not take your food there, and people will just, you know, oh, what's that? Ah, some Korean restaurant. It's not even Korean. It's a Thai Express. It's black people. They say Thai Express. There's no Thai in the Express. It's black. Yeah, black people. God said that my word, when I send it out, it always produces fruit. I believe that commitment is being redefined in your mind. I believe that commitment is being redefined in your spirit. That your commitment to God and to the church even restricts your movement. Not that somebody says you shouldn't do something, but that you have come to understand commitment, that you, your steps, your freedom is restricted. Now people say, oh, you always, it's for you. You always. A time came that people used to frown on church all the time, everything church. People used to frown on it. It's like, it's too much. Yeah, the church is too much. A little day off here and there. Yeah. Huh? And just like the people of Israel, it is by their murmurings that God responded to. Not that God wanted to give them something, but they murmured. So the thing that is coming is not really a blessing. But because you are complaining, it's okay. This holiday, we are not doing anything. It's okay. Yeah, because this is the holidays. You're on the alert. Yeah. You're holding on. You're waiting. I hope they don't call for any meeting. Yeah. So that's why when I see Karen's car in front there, I always feel like you are in a hurry. It may not be that, but when I see you, you are almost at the gate. I was listening to Oyedepo earlier today. He says that your attitude makes a lot of difference. Yeah. It was in Kenya, he was preaching many years ago. So your attitude makes a big difference in your life. So when I see your car close to the main gate, what do you think it tells me?
Rush hour. Rush hour. Okay.
Yeah. It's like the person is waiting to hear that. Ah! No meeting. Yeah. It means that you are not, see the rest, you are not available. Jesus says, I will give you rest. There's no rest. That's when I see your car, and I hope this word will affect your mind. There's a car park. That's where every car must be. When I see the car close to the gate, I see that's 2 feet from the gate. I say, what's happening? Every car is in a car park. And she heard something. And maybe. No, I. The coming to the West Bank. Coming to the West Bank is a normal thing for me now. Going, studying the bridge, I don't mind. I like the bridge to open before I go. We have married the Harbor Bridge. With all the things that it comes with. So in my mind, you should ask those who live here. Calvin, Sister Charlene, all these people who wake up and go to the work every morning. They do that with the Harbor Bridge in mind. It is not a problem. They go. They're okay. That's how they live their life. And if they can live their life normally like that, how can I not live my church life also normally like that? Why is that when I come here, it's like I've come to a place I want. Yeah.
Is that right?
It always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to. Number two, And it will prosper wherever I send it. Number three. Why wouldn't you want to use the word of God? Why wouldn't the word of God be something that you'd be used to? Didn't you? So let's look at Ruth for a few minutes. We'll have communion. Charlie, you should really believe God, though. You should really believe God. Yes. God is supernatural. He's looking for people to believe him. Do you know that we in the church don't believe in God? I remember when, in that same, the Testament of Moses, I think the last episode, when they're moving around and then they ended up in Midian, Jethro's village. It was the back of the desert where he heard a call with a burning bush that when he went to Jethro, when he met Jethro, he told Jethro he had come back because he's not hearing God. So he wants to go back to. It was even the way they explained the mountain in there. As the series is going on, these doctors and professors were explaining, say that in those days, mountains were considered as gods. And therefore, nobody actually goes to the mountain. You don't go there. That's why in Ghana, many Christians, if they want to read, they are looking for a breakthrough, they go to the mountains and pray. Here, the mountains, they've kept it away from us. It's in the bush. What are you going to do in the mountains? So that's what the historians were saying, that in those days, mountains were like gods. There's so many things were gods. So the mountainous, like Kanuku and Pakarima, it's like gods. You don't go there. So Moses took the sheep there, and that's what happened. Burning bush. So after he took the Israelites, they went to the Red Sea, and then moving around and all that, he came to Midian. Then he felt that he wasn't feeling God. So he went to the mountains. That's when he came back with the Ten Commandments. Because it was always believed that the mountains were gods and that there were gods who dwell in those places. Because they were so high. Then when you get to the top, it's almost as if you are in the skies, you are in the heavens. That's why you see mountains in the Bible, Mount Sinai, Mount Olives. They were places that were very, very sacred. The Mount of the Transfiguration. Everything was like mountain, Mount Carmel. That's where Elijah took the 400 prophets of Baal to Mount Carmel. He said, call for your God. I also call for my God. It's like that was a church. That was a secret place for them. Oh, Charlie, if you watch the thing, you get some revelations. Of. Yes, finish it. Ruth chapter 1. Oh. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. Not Naomi, it's Naomi. Wife Naomi. Naomi means my delight. My delight. So you are somebody's delight. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Naomi's delight, or Naomi's delight died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. Oprah says this is his original name. But when he went to school, they spelled it wrong. They put an R after the P. That's why it's called Oprah. Yeah, her original name is actually Orpah. Mm-hmm. You know how people spell your name wrong? On your birth certificate and estate? That is the same thing that happened to Jerry John Rawlings. I was watching a documentary with him. His father is John. His father's last name is John. So he's actually, Rawlings is not his last name. He's John, he's Jerry Rawlings John. But he says that when he applied to go to flight school, when they responded to his application, positive, when they had accepted him, his name, they did Jerry John Rawlings. And he said, for fear of not being rejected, he didn't talk about the name, the order of the name. That's how his name has stayed Jerry John Rawlings. But his name is Jerry Rawlings John. His last name is John, like his father from Scotland. And the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and a woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, you know the story, isn't it? That she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi's mother's house, the Lord deal kindly. Hey, where am I? And Naomi said unto her two daughters, hey, verse 8. And Naomi said unto her two daughters in law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them. Charlie, words are powerful. The woman is saying that, may you find rest in the house of your husband. May such prayers be prayed over you when you are getting married. Mm-hmm. And she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, it says that you're not too old to have a husband. Sister Elsa is also not too old to have a husband. Hey. If I should say, I have hope. If I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone against me. It's gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But the Bible says, but Ruth clave unto her. The Hebrew meaning of clave is to cling, to stick, ever stick, crazy glue. To stick with. I will stick with you. But Ruth got stuck to Naomi. That's commitment. It restricts your freedom of action. Do you think that as Ruth is Guyanese, Naomi is a Trinidadian, Ruth is Guyanese, Naomi is Australian, Naomi is from both Ghanaian. And then you are saying that you are going to follow Naomi to her, back to her country. Hey! Chale! Carrie, you can't only eat fried rice. You have to eat fufu. You have to eat banko. You can't say you don't like them because you like fried rice and chicken. The things that Ruth was committing herself to by cleaving to Naomi was going to limit her freedom of movement. Are you with me? Number one, the country is going to be a new country, so you can't just move around. You need permission, or you need somebody to help you go to places. Number two, the food is going to be different, so you can't have Moabite or Moab food. You can't, like how people, as they are going to come to Ghana, you see them at the El Dorado Ram, they carry it like that. I said, people stupid, you know. So people carry Bang's beer. But you see, it is all something that you've grown up with. Bang's beer. Yeah, some people buy Chinese food from Guyana and they freeze it. They say Guyana Chinese food is different. Because when you go to Suriname, the Chinese, the fried rice is also very different. Far different. There's no sugar inside. So Papi doesn't like it because there's no sugar inside. I'm sure Trisha also didn't like it. But I like Suriname fried rice. Yeah, nasi kip. Nasi goreng. Yeah, nasi la, nasi whatever, run flakes, all of that. Nasi mix. You go to Suriname and you say you want fried rice. And when you say, egg rice. Egg rice is different. Because there's no sugar inside. Cleave means to follow closely. The implications of Ruth's statement, she actually listed them. You go to the next verse, verse 15, and she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." So we will go into the types of commitment. You see, upper, as she was crying and kissing up, she won't go nowhere. She won't go far. Ah, it's bluffing. That's what the Bible said. But Ruth cleave. Next verse, blessed memory. Yeah. Ruth said, and this is where we are concluding, and then we are deducing the definition, second definition of commitment from. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. It's like, since I've come to know you, my movements have been restricted. I have chosen my movements to be restricted by getting to know you. So don't tell me, like Elisha told Elijah, as the Lord liveth, I'm not going anywhere. He says, so don't tell me to return from following after you. Because then my commitment now is affected, because commitment means that you have freedom of action. So if you tell me go, then it means that my commitment is affected. And I know what I know, and I know what I want. And so I'm not letting your words affect what I know and what I want. That's what I said earlier, that it is not even by a bishop's permission, it is by your relationship with God and how you understand commitment. Because if Ruth was going to be very respectful and say, oh, my mother-in-law said that, just like Orpah, my mother-in-law told me that I can just go back. So, but I wanted to be there, but it's my mother-in-law who agreed. She said, it's okay, I can go. No, you are not committed. You don't understand commitment. If you are committed, when they say go, you don't go. When they say don't come, you don't listen to it. That's what commitment is. Your movement, your freedom is limited when you are committed. So he says, for where you go, I will go. I'll be like your shadow. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Even if I don't like where you are lodging, I don't care. My commitment in you restricts my movement. So I will also lodge there. Do you understand commitment? Or are you going to do this thing by your feelings? Commitment is here. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. It's not something that I have not thought about. I have thought about it. And I have decided. And my decision is final. I will follow Jesus. No turning back. The cross before me. Can you sing that song?
Sing it a little. I can sing it a little.
The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning. He says, where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your disgusting people will be my people. Your naive people will be my people. Your unkind people will be my people. Your some weird people will be my people. Hey, is it not restriction? And your God will be my God. Hey, this is your God. Friday night, they say we should come and pray all night. This God, I don't know this God. Oh. Friday night in my culture, who is lime? Who is watch movie? Who is go to Gifland Mar? Your God says Friday I should come 9 p.m. Samaria to 4 a.m. What? Bishop, I love you, but the way your God thing, I don't like it. Your commitment is not the right kind of thing. Your people will be my people, and your God be my God. Will you die? Will I die? Charlie. This one, husband and wife doesn't even come home. Will you die? I also die there. Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? This is serious commitment. Will you die? I will die. And there will I be buried. And he said, I swear on my mother's grave. The Lord do so to me and more also. If ox, if anything but death, part me and you. This is not a wedding ceremony. This is a young woman and an old woman. Like there was no even law anymore between them. The son is dead. We don't even have any relationship anymore. So what is this thing that you get stuck to me? What is this sticking to? What is this thing about? Yeah. I pray your commitment will be that, like that of Ruth. The Bible says, the next verse, verse 18, as we close. When she saw that, she was steadfastly feeling. Remember, I just mentioned that the commitment is a mindset. Because you are affected by your mind. You are affected by how your mind is renewed, how your mind, the information your mind receives and processes, that's how you are affected. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she said, I don't. Then she left speaking with her. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the type of spirit God is calling for in his church. Where you go, I will go. Do you see how we are loosely committed? Where you go, that's not where I will go. No. I remember one of the girls in the office was telling me the other day. One of the pastors told her that whenever Bishop is going to preach in any church outside, that you know, I must know. I'll say it again. The person is not coming to me to tell me that, oh, Bishop. Because if you tell me, I may not even remember you. Why should I remember you when I'm going somewhere? My mind is on all kinds of things, so I can easily forget you. But he's saying that the person who knows the date and coordinates, he said, don't let there be a trip that I don't know. Now, there are many of you, you don't care. And then you look at the people who care and do these things in a funny way. Like they are some way. But these are people who understand commitment. And there's nothing wrong about that. It is you who lacks commitment and seem to have a problem with commitment. It's not commitment. What's wrong about that? When he read, she realized that she was steadfastly minded to go with her. How many of us are steadfastly minded to go to Ghana for homecoming? Only one hand. That took you by surprise. Yeah. Somebody even sent me a route that is very, very cheap today. He said, Bishop, look, this route is almost $1,000 cheaper than going through Amsterdam. I said, wow. People are thinking about November. What are you there for? Yes, almost $1,000 cheaper. Pastor Sam was telling me he's just about to secure his ticket for Give Thyself Holy in July. Oh, yeah. you are thinking about what? Courts? Lucky dollar? Your dollar is not lucky. He said he's securing his ticket in 2 weeks. Yeah? Let's stand. Father, thank you for the blessings. Receive all of them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
For booking and more information on the ministry of Victor Collins, please call us on 592-691-5301 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. God richly bless you.